And I'd ask that you stand, if you're able to do so, if you're able to stand this morning for the reading of God's word as we read in unison, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You may be seated.
Take it off so I can breathe. I just want to make a comment about tonight in the Lord's Supper. This is maybe something you've never experienced before, and that is the Lord's Supper elements are packaged from the factory. So we haven't taken them apart, we haven't touched them, and so they're very sterile and be just a little bit different, but it's a biblical process that we'll be observing tonight, so I just want to let you know a lot of safety has gone into the preparation for tonight. Well, fruit is mentioned over 70 times in the New Testament. So it's a pretty important concept for us to grasp. And most of us, and I'm talking about myself, we're not really as familiar with some of the farming or some of the other more agricultural aspects that the scripture references. 5 days before this text in John chapter 15, Jesus cursed what tree? Fig tree. It wasn't because there wasn't leaves, it was because there was no fruit. Well, this particular discourse, and by the way, it's not a lecture and it's not a sermon, Jesus is passionately sharing something with his disciples. We know it took place after the Last Supper. And we know it took place before he prayed and was betrayed. So there's really not a lot of options as to when did this take place. Did it take place just before they left the upper room and went through the streets of Jerusalem? Did it take place as he was talking while they were walking through the streets of Jerusalem? Probably one of those two scenarios. Did Jesus have in his hand the grapes? Okay, I have some grapes. Just think about it. And this discourse, the first 17 verses, is divided into two parts. The first part is the parable of the branch, and the second part is the application of abiding. Now, when Jesus starts, we look at these very first words. The first two words that we read is what? What's the first two words? I am. Have you ever heard of that before in John? Well, this is the seventh time that Jesus said, I am something, okay? And this is his claim to deity. He is the I am. For example, in John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, he said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, he says, I am the door of the sheep. In also chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. He says in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He says in John 14, I am the way, truth, and life. And here he says, I am the true vine. These are all metaphors. But oh my goodness, do we read through these too quickly? And so I want to slow down a little bit. I want to clarify this morning, and then next week come back and deal more with some of the specifics here. But to clarify these things, in fact, hopefully there's room in your bulletin or your prayer sheet to take a few notes. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. Well, what's a husbandman? Well, a husbandman is a vine dresser. Might call him that. Might call him a gardener. Might call him the operations manager. And so he is just saying, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. And these next two words are very important. What does he do with them? He takes them away. Now, what does that mean? Okay, in the book of John, within this, you might say, context, it is referenced to lifting up or taking up the branches. And I'll say more about that later. So all he's saying, he's not taking it away and trashing it. He's just literally lifting it up. And many of you that maybe have had some experience with vines, you've done that also. And every branch that beareth fruit, he what? Purges it. And purging is a little bit broader term that maybe we would understand. The next verse, it says, now are ye what? Clean, same word. So purging is everything from cleaning, like washing off the leaves, or cutting, whatever is necessary here. And so it's very positive. Then he says, by the way, he says, now ye are clean. Who is Jesus talking to here? How many? The 11. Judas is gone. So he's talking to the 11, says, now ye are clean. And so here's the apostles, and he is encouraging them about the cleaning and the purging that Jesus had been doing in their lives over the last how many years? 3 years. 3.5 years. So here, Jesus had spent some time, and you know what? Just being around Jesus, you know what it does? It cleans us and purges us. It's just a process. When we're around him, when his word, there is this process going on. It's not, you might say, immediate. It's progressive, and that's why we use the word progressive sanctification. And we're all in that process. And so Jesus comes along and he cleans and he purges and he does things in our life and doesn't do it all at once. He does it progressively. Okay, then he says, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And then he ends that, for without me ye can do what? Nothing. Is that true? I mean, is that really true? We can't do anything? And so the evidence of being attached, the evidence of genuine belief is what? Fruitfulness. Yeah, I mean, that is the context of all of this. And so you really might say there's no such thing as Christian retirement. Or you might say no such thing as Christian fruitlessness. Because when we're attached, there's going to be fruit and evidence of all that. Okay, and it goes on in the context, and in fact, the very next verse says, if a man abide not in me, that means there is an appearance of a branch that still, it hasn't withered yet, but it's not attached, and what would we call that? Dead. I don't know about you. Maybe some of you guys would identify this more, but when you go to the store and you say, oh, I'm going to get some flowers for my wife. I'm going to get some cut flowers. You know what you're buying? Dead flowers. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, so let's get back to what we're looking at here. God here, God is when the branches are glorifying God is when the branches are submitting or in sync with the vine. When the branches will and the branches work is the same as the vine's will and the vine's work. So there's two kinds of branches. The two kinds of branches are the branch that bears fruit and the branches that don't. Without me, you can do nothing. Separated from God, we can do nothing. We might look like we are. We might look like we've got, you know, nice sleeves, or we might have this or that, but without him, we can do nothing. Verses 4 through 6, and I didn't take the time for 6 because I just want to introduce this. Express the need of strong dependence. We know that the creator of the universe is the one that has offered us salvation. John 3, John 6, etc. It all comes from him. And for us who identify ourselves as a Christian, as being attached, those of us who identify with that, all the grace we need to bear fruit comes from him. There is no other source. So let's look at the vine for a moment. He says, back in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. Interesting word, true, right? What's true? What's the idea here? What's the sense of real? I am the real vine. I'm the genuine thing. I'm the real vine. And what he is using here is the vine as an illustration. So, I mean, was it physical? Did Jesus have some in his hand? Kind of a common practice. It would maybe not even to be uncommon for us. But you know, he said, you know, I am the real one. This is an illustration. A detached or rotten branch does not bear fruit. An attached branch's purpose is to allow the fruit to grow. In fact, we sang the song, I Believe in Miracles. The miracles that he has wrought should lead us to Calvary. So we look at some of this and we say, wow. That's powerful. Or we look at, you know, some of the things that are happening in astronomy and we go, wow, it should lead us, our thinking, to Calvary. And we get into some of the DNA and some of the other things that are really being taunted about some of the viruses and things. And we say, oh my goodness, how do we understand all that? Hey, it should lead us to, you know what, the Creator God did this. So it's just, again, lead us back to Calvary. I think about these grapes, and they're beautiful grapes. I love grapes. All the nourishment of the branch and tendrils pass through the vine. Think about that. It all comes from the vine. Jesus is the source of all real strength and purpose and grace. And the disciples took this very personally because for the last 3+ years, they had been getting everything they needed from Jesus. Jesus imparts everything needed to bear the various fruits of a relationship with him. Hey, when we come to beginning to go down to some other levels of this thinking, what passage about the grace of God, or let me use a word, what passage about the juice of God comes to mind when we start talking about fruit? Well, how about fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5? Okay, so the vine, just a real quick snapshot of the vine. Okay, the husbandman. It says, my father is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He is the gardener. He's the one in charge. He plants. By the way, grape vines last 20 years or so. They start getting reduced in quality and even quantity after about 20 years. So there's grafting that takes place, and there's all kinds of different grafting. And there's cleaning, and there's all kinds of managing, and there's watching. And sometimes in these vineyards, they're pretty good size. And so to watch out for the animals, even the thieves, they would build towers so that there could be a watchman in the tower at night to watch out and to care for this particular vineyard. He harvests the crops, or at least is in charge of it. And he rejoices over the fruit. It is the happy time, harvest time. And Jesus said, my father is the husbandman. Hey, is that true? It says in Romans 11, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. It's a big deal then, isn't it? Then why do we, or why would we even consider to act otherwise? If it's all about him. If it's his vineyard. We are as dependent on the vine as Jesus was to the Father when he was on earth. By the way, was Jesus dependent? He said he was. Did he recognize it? Oh yeah, he did. Well then, who do you think we are to live independently from that? Oh, I don't need God to help me do this. I can do this one on my own. Did you hear anybody say that? I don't have to pray about that. I got this one. That's not biblical thinking. I don't want to bother God. What? Christ the vine honored God as his husbandman in every area. It was 100% trust. How are we doing? Okay, let's look at the branch. Every branch, he says, in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, picks it up. This is sometimes called canopy management. This is viticulture. This is a reference of taking up or lifting up, taking away from the ground. This word is used, for example, in John chapter 5, when the man was called to take up his bed. What did he do? He picked it up, didn't he? Now, a bed is not box springs, and it wasn't like that. It was just a mat that was on the ground, but he picked it up. A little bit later in John 8, they took up stones. Now, they're going to use the stones to throw at Jesus, but they took up the stones. What did they do? They picked them up. And this is what the word that is used here, picked up this branch that is obviously on the ground. Now, one of the chief words, and it's kind of like, well, yeah, one of the chief words is this metaphor of the branch. Why? Because that's us. This is who we are. It's the vine that needs the branches to bear the fruit. It's critical that we practically realize what we are. And sometimes I think we think, oh yeah, okay, there's the vine and I'm the branch. Like an oak tree. I'm the branch of an oak tree. No, it's not how it is. This branch is very small. It even would maybe most often be like the stem of a grape. Okay, so let me pick one here. See what happens. Sometimes you get them and sometimes you don't. Okay, so what did I do when I pulled this grape off? I left the stem. Do I care? Oh no, I lost the stem in here. No, right? What do I have? Just the fruit. Everything that is held in my hand comes from the stem. Isn't that incredible? This stem really, in part, is the branch. You know what you and I are? Stems. Little wooden stems to bear fruit. Don't you like fruit? Couldn't help. Dan's back there. Now, it's similar to oranges or apples. He's saying, hey, you're the little wooden stem. You're the little branch for the purpose of, by the way, would I buy this if all it had was stems? No. In fact, when you look at a bunch of grapes, you look to see how many stems are there, right? You don't see how many grapes are there. You look for the fruit. A branch is simply a little bit of wood. It is birthed by the vine for the single purpose of serving the vine. What's that? What's the service? Bearing fruit. It is of the very similar nature as the vine. So it comes from the vine. It has the same nature and purpose as the vine. It has the vine's life, you might say, or the vine's spirit in it. And there are bunches of stems on some very small branches. I mean, it's just incredible to me. And you look at these and how tightly they are bunched together. That's a good husbandman that helps that happen. Where they're not all strung out and here's a grape and here's a grape and here's a couple more. You know, they're all together. So what's important? The fruit, right? That's what we purchase. And that's, by the way, this whole idea of grapes and understanding has gone back for many thousands and thousands of years. They were good at it too. And so every single grape is on a little tiny stem. Imagine all the goodness of the grape flowing through that little wooden stem. I mean, you know, it's just like a big toothpick. And all the juices are going through that piece of wood to get into that grape. And we pay for the grapes. We ought to be thanking the stem. The vine's goodness does not stay in the stem, it's passed on. A stem is simply a conduit. What are we? A stem. A little stem, and God is purposes to put through the juices, you might say, all the fruit of the Spirit through us to produce the fruit. Loosely said, everyone that is a true follower of God is united to God by faith and derives grace and strength and goodness and juice from Him as the physical branch does the vine. The sap, the juice that is pulled from the vine is not for the stem, it's for the fruit. Even more, think what a stem has to go through. I mean, outside. And so, you know, it has to go through all the, you might say, the storms. It has to go through all the cleaning up. It has to go through all the insects, you might say, and the other processes so that it might bear fruit. Real branches need to be pruned or cleaned up. Why? Because real branches left to themselves waste energy. You might say the real branches will waste the sap. It will ramble. It will grow. I've read about how sometimes they'll grow 2, 3, 4 feet long without a grape, have a lot of leaves, and be of some length, but be of really no purpose to the vine. Wrong focus, wrong place. Hey, what are we thinking about? We thinking about leaves? We thinking about length? We're thinking about, hey, yeah, look at me, you know, here I go. We need to be pruned. Ouch. I have one of these handheld little jobbies. And let me tell you, it will take down some pretty good size branches. And I'm sure it says, oh no, he's got him again, here he comes, you know. Hey, is it okay with you if God in his hand comes to where you are and trims or cleans? This is possibly the number one 2021 resolution right here, where we say, yes, Lord, I want to bear leaves. No, more fruit. Are we on the ground? I mean, we are occasionally. We're on the ground and there's dirt, and when it rains, it gets real muddy, and sometimes we even get covered. And then there's all the little animals and the insects all around there. We on the ground? Do we need to be lifted up? Do we need to be hosed down? Do we need to have some rotten parts cut off? Do we want to? Do we need to be refocused? Oh, no, leave me alone. I'm okay. I'm on the ground, but yeah, that's okay. What do we say to God? When God comes knocking at your door and say, hey, bath time, cleanup time, I got the pruning shears out. Don't answer the door. Shh. No, it's to bear more fruit. We say, yes, Lord. And by the way, to bear more fruit is a purpose clause. And so it's very clear as Jesus is talking to his disciples, and by the way, that this passion, I'm sure, was beginning to communicate to these disciples, like, wow, Jesus is really passionate about this. Man, and we thought this Last Supper, you know, we call it the Lord's Supper, the last part of the Passover meal, as he took the bread and the grape juice, and he took that and he made that an ordinance. And wow, we thought that was heavy. Now listen to what he's saying. To bear more fruit. And this is not just to bear fruit once. This is bear fruit continually or linearly. Keep on bearing it more and more and more and more. And that means wherever we are. And sometimes some of this juice is coming out and maybe it's primarily at home, or maybe it's also at work, or it's at school, or it's in the neighborhood, or it's at the store, or it's with the family, it's wherever. Hey, did you ever come to a time where you say, you know what, this needs to be my 2021 resolution. I mean, I haven't been bearing fruit. I haven't been focused on it. I haven't been thinking of taking from God and bearing fruit with this. I haven't thought of myself as this pipeline or this little stem. I haven't been thinking about this at all. And boy, when it comes to Galatians 5 and fruit of the Spirit, I mean, it's the last thing on my mind. Do you ever need refocusing? Every one of us do. That's why tonight is a critical time. Do this in remembrance of me. That's what Jesus said. Why did he say that? Because we need it. We all need a memory hit. We all need to remember some things. And so there are things that happen in this process of our bearing fruit, where we remember. I mentioned some time ago that back in 1992, There's some construction going on in our church, and I fell through a hole, and I broke both of my arms going through that hole. It wasn't the hit on the ground. It was going through this little hole. And so I'm at the bottom. Both my arms are broke, and of course my body's messed up, and I'm at physical therapy 3 days a week. I got a little machine at home every day to move my arms, and anyway, just a lot of stuff. And by the way, imagine, guys, your wife brushing your teeth. Because I couldn't get my hands up to brush my teeth. I needed a long toothbrush, about like this. And your wife's doing all the driving. Some of you say, oh my goodness, that's worse than brushing my teeth. So your wife is driving, you're having her brush your teeth, and everything else that's necessary, you know, goes with that. Let me ask you, do you think that's a good time to refocus? What do you think? Yes. Absolutely. It is a necessary thing. Now listen, you don't have to break your arms to refocus. Praise the Lord. But we all need refocusing because we get so distracted. We get sometimes so distracted we miss an anniversary or we miss a birthday or we miss something else. Oh, I forgot to call them. Or maybe we get so distracted we don't even pray right. We need to get refocused. Every one of us do. And we can all get so busy, we can get into those higher numbers of work, and we're working 60, 70, and maybe more hours a week, and we're saying, oh, I'm just so busy. Hey, maybe we need to refocus. Hey, how's our fruit doing? What are we doing with this juice, you might say, from God? And we look at Galatians 5, and it's love. What's the second one? Joy. Third one, peace. Wow, and they're in groups of threes, but just think about love, joy, peace. Not even getting to long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, etc. This is the stuff that's coming from God for us to pass on. We're the conduit of this. And so that's our focus. That's our one purpose. That's what we are to do. We are to bear fruit for the vine. That's our reason, you might say, for living. One reason for existing on earth is to bear fruit. Is that true? If not, why not? And let me ask you a question. I mean, how many times do we really pray about this process? Well, we know everything we need, all the supply is from God. He's the vine, and it's coming out to us, the little twig, the little stem. It's all coming, and we're supposed to be passing it on. Are we praying about that? Is it important? You know what has happened to us? We have let COVID really distract us. And I understand there ought to be a carefulness, but we have gotten so distracted. And we're paying attention to the stems, not the fruits. You know, even during COVID, there's still the juice to be passed on. There should be this oozing out of fruit into the life of others. There are ways to do this. We are commanded to do this. That is the reason we live during COVID, is to pass on Galatians 5 to others. Vine sap will produce fruit. Now, let me just touch more on this later, but let me give an example. Okay, the first fruit in Galatians 5 is love. Now, we know there's another passage of Scripture that describes love. 1 Corinthians 13. So, love for example, suffers long. Right? How many agree? Okay? Oh, yeah. That's what it teaches. Love serves. Love serves without expectation of return. Love is not selfish. Let me just give you a real brief example. Have you ever called a pharmacy? How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. When you call a pharmacy, for example, and some of us, when we're over 50 or 60, they become our best friends. And so, you want to talk to the pharmacist for whatever reason, and so you call the number, and then, you know, you get all the machines, right? And you have to listen to 10 prompts before you figure out which one you want, and then it'll ask you the same questions again, and then when you finally get what you think is the right number, you're on hold. Now, if you're in the drugstore, you can hear the phone ringing, pharmacy, line one, pharmacy, line one, pharmacy, line one, and he's not picking up. Okay? Now, and that's you on the other end, okay? Calling, calling, calling. And so when you finally get through, how do you speak? Well, Happy New Year to you. I know you're busy, and I'm sorry to bother you. Is that how we start? Well, it's about time you picked up. Is it ready yet? I mean, hey, are we loving? I mean, are we kind of passing on the juices from God, or are we putting our poison in it? How are we doing? Are we really bearing God's fruit? And then we get to joy. You think about joy for a minute. I mean, this is not bitterness. This is joy. This joy comes from God. And then we go a little farther, and there's peace. Peace is when you understand that the husbandman is in charge. It doesn't matter what has been cut off around you or in you. I mean, he's done all this. No matter how he's hosed you off or picked you up or strained you, whatever he's done, hey, that's all from his hand. It's God touching us and preparing us to bear fruit. Long-suffering, enduring when it's difficult. It's bearing fruit. By the way, where does this first start? Where does this bearing fruit, where does this passing on the goodness of God, where does that really begin? In our homes. In our homes. It's how we talk to our husband and wife. It's how we respond to our parents and children. It's how we get along. It's understanding that this all comes from God. Happy is the Christian that figures this out. Happy is 2021 when we see the picture that Christ here in his passion, just before he is betrayed, is explaining to his disciples. I mean, how many times do we wake up in the morning and say, I've been redeemed and I live for this one thing, to bear fruit today, to pass on some of the juices from God to my family or someone else? Hey, how do we wake up in the morning? If we even, you know, before coffee, I don't know if we can even pray before we drink our coffee, but okay, let's say we're drinking our coffee and praying. You know what typically is? God bless me. I don't read that here. God, I want to pass it on from you to somebody else today. God, I want to be kind to my brother. He has been such an aggravation. Or God, I want to help my husband today, or my wife today, or my parents, or my children. I want to pass this on. God, I really want to be used. I'm just a little stick. I'm just a little stem. But oh, let some of it seep through, dear God. Is that how we start? This is not academics. This is where we are praying that God will use this little stem to align itself and purpose itself as he is. By the way, this is the Christian life, what we're talking about here. The idea of the Christian life is to have one of these. or more. And I know some people have maybe just one talent. Some have 10 talents. And so maybe some people have multiple little stems for multiple fruit. But is that how we see ourselves? We're just a stem. And we are absolutely dependent upon God, and we are to take His purpose and align our purpose with His purpose. Can you imagine how that'd change? That would change our families. I mean, that would change the way we talk. That would change how we get up in the morning to honor God. I want to go out bright, you might say. And I think sometimes we start thinking that when we get in our 60s, maybe in our 70s, and I want to go out bright. But we say it this way, I want to go out bearing fruit. I want to pass it on. I want to honor God. Begin with confession of rebellion against God's purposes. And so we should start our prayer and say, "Dear God, oh, I want to bear fruit today, but I haven't said that much. God, I haven't even thought that much. And God, I haven't even resembled that. I've been thinking independently from you. And dear God," it's a confession of sin. It's a repentant spirit where we say, "You know what? My attitude and my lifestyle has been all wrong. It's not right. It's not the way we're supposed to live. But I want to live right. I want this to be the year of fruit." Juice, you might say, from God into a fruit for Him. Hey, you interested in that kind of dependence? You interested in some of that from the vine coming through you into a fruit, passing it on and not much of it sticking? Hey, think about it. That's day and night. That's 24 hours a day. A little bit of, you might say, sap doesn't go through just in the daytime. It's all the time. It's when it's stormy. It's when it's sunny. It's when it's being lifted up and hosed off. It's when it's being trimmed. It's at home. It's at work. I mean, it's at church. It's just everywhere. That's our purpose, is to bear fruit. I mean, this is what we like, you know. That's our purpose. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. What's the next one? Gentleness. Oh, my goodness. Are you a gentle spirit? Goodness. Faith, and with faith is always faithfulness. Meekness, temperance. Listen, you know, for most of us, we can't even get through love yet. We have to go back and say, okay, there's multiple levels here. There's a lot of these layers to love. We got to go back, 1 Corinthians 13, to think some of this out and apply it, understand it. And so we wake up. Now, let's start this week. Let's wake up Monday morning and we have it on our calendar. We have it by the alarm and we look at it and we say, okay, I am choosing today to push through some of God's love. And this is how it's going to look like. And this is where it should be. And throughout the day, can you imagine throughout the day tomorrow, we're talking, thinking, processing through how to process some of God's love through us to somebody else? And you know who it's going to include? It's going to include somebody we don't think deserves it. But it's God's purpose for us to pass it on. Can you imagine the purpose of God that we've been messing up? The purpose of God that we've been blocking? We said, there's no way in the world. I'm not going to love that person. They don't, not over my dead body. Okay, block the sap. Block the fruit. Can you imagine waking up? What would change in our homes if we did this? What would it be like if everybody in the family is trying to love each other? What a wild home, huh? What a change that would be. And we're loving each other, and we begin to memorize some of those 15 descriptions of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Those are not definitions of love. Those are descriptions of what it looks like. And so we start working through that. Listen, that could take us 15 weeks right there. And then, you know, and let's say we get through all that, and then we work on joy, and we go through some of this other aspects that's recorded for us in John 15 about what the joy looks like and what it is. And so we begin to meditate on that, and we begin to disciple somebody. Listen, nobody wants to be discipled by a grouch. The best tutors are the happy tutors, are the encouraging ones. And so maybe we can disciple our husbands or our wives or our children or our parents or whoever it is. And we come along and we take an area and say, hey, let's talk about this. And I'm not good at this either, but let's both of us. And there's a little bit of discipleship going on. Well, then we start talking about trusting God. We say, yeah, you know, I tell you what, we're just living in a land of fear, and we're seeing fear here and fear there and fear everywhere and da-da-da-da-da. And we need to get a better perspective of fear, and maybe together you use a book like Trusting God and seeing the sovereignty of God and how he works and how he's bigger than all these circumstances, and it becomes just a little reading time. Wow. And we discuss it. Now, let me say one more thing real quick. If there is not a desire to bear fruit, if there is not a desire to let these good things from God pass through us, then there's a need for some very serious pruning. Or the person is not attached to the vine. That means it's dead. This morning, I want to conclude. This is just introduction to this awesome passage. This is a passage of passion from Jesus. This is his last passion of any length before he's crucified. Think about it. You know what we ought to be saying? We ought to be saying, dear God, search me. Go through me, show me. And whatever you show me, I'll respond to it. If I'm not passing on love like you want me to, just show me and I will. Dear God, show me, please. I want to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit quickly. I don't have much left. I want to make it happen. By the way, facts are our friends. Let's bow our heads for a moment. And I'm going to ask the pianist to play a couple stanzas of Search Me, O God. And while he's playing just a couple stanzas, would you just kind of talk to God and say, God, I'm open to whatever you tell me to do. If you show me, I'll do it. And I'm going to start with love. I'm going to really look at this. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And I know you've described it quite well in some detail in 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm going to work on this. If that's what you want, that's going to be primary to me. Would you talk to God? And if there's a need for going to God and confessing, then do that. Say, God, I've been resisting you. I've been doing this for myself. Please forgive me. Maybe that's primary. Our heads are bowed. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, this is such an encouraging and yet convicting passage for us to be just those little twigs and stems with a purpose. And you've been so gracious to us. We've not even thought about this. We've not even prayed about it. We've not even wanted it. Because we've not seen the picture. We've not seen you. So please forgive us. Help us to focus our attention on what's really important. In Jesus' name.